By the way, folks, before we go to Rebecca Walzer tonight on what is reported to be the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history, we'll ask her if that's a true statement. That's what I'm reading in the press, at least. Let me remind you that we have emergency freeze-dried food and a lot of other emergency supplies. We have a huge order that has just arrived to us and is being put into the warehouse this weekend. So, again, you need to take advantage of the free freight while we're offering it, saving you hundreds of dollars. This is what sets us apart from a lot of other companies is, A, the freeze-dried food we offer is actually very good. B, free freight. So, again, that will save some of you hundreds of dollars. WVWTVstore.com to place your order. If you want to get a pen, I'll also give you the phone number. But it is WVWTVstore.com. We don't only offer freeze-dried food. We offer emergency supplies there as well. The little solo stove for using some kindling to get a fire going. The two-pot set that goes with it. It's made to go with it so you can boil your water. The filter system, the water purification filtering system that we also sell so you can purify the water. So you can get your purified water, boil the water, make your fire, make your freeze-dried food. You got to think of all the steps. Crank radios and other things are available there as well. WVWTVstore.com. It is a big part of our general operating budget that allows us to do so much of what we do, as well as push out the free content to you versus what many people do is put it behind a paywall. But when you support us by getting services and products and things you need anyway, you're helping us while we offer you a service. So please check out WVWTVstore.com. For more information. Over the weekend, my wife is going, who has her own cooking and decorating show, as many of you know, she is going to assist me in, which means she's mostly going to do it, in making some of these entrees. I asked her if she would be willing to do that this weekend, make some of these entrees, and let's show them and film them so you guys can see what it's like, what they taste like. You won't be able to taste it through the TV, but I will, and I've already eaten some of them. We might even get Logan to try some, but we're going to make them and show you how easy it is to make them, how delicious they are, and presentable they are to your family. So we'll be filming that over the weekend. Hope to have that for you early next week. We also have coming in some EMT bags, emergency medical technician bags. I told you guys the story on radio today. This last fall, we had a security guy with Roger, and they got in that car wreck. Someone T-boned him, and he split open his eye up here, and he didn't want to leave Roger and go get stitches, although he needed about five or six of them. But he's like, I'm not leaving my post. And he's a former Special Forces military guy. He's a pretty tough character. But we were pretty adamant, no, you need to get that stitched up. We don't want to see that get infected or anything. So I called a doctor that I know in the area. He said, look, I just don't have what I need to do that right with me right yet. But if you can get a hold of the supplies, yeah, I could do that. And so we finally were able to get him to stitch the guy up. But what it did is it caused us to realize we know doctors because we called two or three doctors, but they didn't have the supplies with them at home. Some doctors keep all that stuff around, right, in a bag, but some don't. So we learned real fast. You can have a doctor, you can have a nurse practitioner, you can have a nurse. But if they don't have the tools they need, that what good is that? So we actually have worked up an EMT bag with sutures and all kinds of stuff that we'll be making available starting next week so that if you have these things on hand and you need them, well, some of them you can use. But if you have a professional nearby, you won't have to worry about him saying or her saying, I don't have the tools, but if I did. So again, if we talk about emergencies and emergency outages with like power going down, we have to think about these things, right? So we've been researching what is the best EMT bag to have, and we'll be presenting that to you guys next week to start ordering. Some other new items coming as well. But you can check out what we currently have at WVWTVstore.com. Now, the number is, if you want to order by phone, is simply 901-468-9357, and we'll be taking orders all weekend, tonight and all weekend, if you want to use the weekend to get your order in. 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Take advantage of the opportunity while we have free shipping. We have a big sale going over at MyPillow.com, one of our other major sponsors, as you know. MyPillow.com has a big special going right now on where is it? Here it is, right here. Massive closeout sale. All season slippers, now $25. These are normally around $150, folks, going for $25. Wow. There is a limit of 10 per person, all right? So there you go. You might want to go ahead and do some Christmas shopping, Father's Day, birthday gifts, buy up whatever you want, male, female, men's, women's, young people, get these slippers, and they make great gifts. Put them in the closet and give them out as the occasion warrants. MyPillow.com. But use that promo code B66. You'll get this great steep savings, and you'll be supporting the Worldview Report, the news report I do each night, and Brandon House Live. So if you appreciate what we're doing, use that promo code, please, B66. The closeout, all season slippers, are going to go to one style. Going to go to one style. So they're doing a closeout. Take advantage of this. Slippers that were just right at a couple pennies away from being $150, now down to $25. These are the ones that Michael Reagan told us when he came on about 2 weeks ago how much he loved them. The slippers that he's worn before have not been comfortable. He would throw them in the trash. They bothered his arthritic feet. But these, he said, I love these. And I didn't ask him, and even said, you didn't ask for this, and I'm not even paid for this. Let me just tell you, these are great slippers. Well, there you go. Even some of you know what I'm talking about that have them, because I have them and I love them too. So here's your chance, folks, to get great slippers, normally about $150, down to $25. But use that promo code, please, B66. B66. While you're there, you might pick up sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and so much more. And support Mike Lindell, the employees there at MyPillow, and us with Worldview Report and Brandon House Live at the same time. And you're getting great products. So everybody's winning. Everybody's winning. All right. Joining me now is Rebecca Walzer. Rebecca, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Well, Rebecca, what is going on? I wake up this morning to the headline that Silicon Valley Bank's Manhattan branch calls cops on investors trying to pull their money, their cash out. As Boston Tech CEO with $10 million in bank describes, quote, worst 18 hours of my life, end quote. Lender is seized by regulators and largest U.S. bank failure since Great Recession. Then we have this one, CEO of Silicon Valley Bank sold 3.5 million of stock in the troubled bank just 2 weeks before its dramatic collapse. An automated trade planned on January 26th, and CFO ditched $575,000 the same day. I text you early in the day, and here's another headline. Second largest bank failure in U.S. history rattles markets and raises fears of wider risk. I text you about this, said, can you please come on? Everybody's talking about it. Sorry to take up a Friday night. I'm sure you'd rather be out to dinner or doing something else at a movie or watching a movie on some streaming platform than being with us. But thank you for sacrificing your Friday night to be here in this huge story. What do you make of it? And what about the word I'm hearing used over and over? Contagion.
Wow. Oh, gosh. There's so much to unpack here, Brandon, but let's just stick to the basic story before we kind of expand it to the contagion. So basically, we're talking about Silicon Valley Bank, okay? And so this bank is a venture capitalist bank. This is a specialty bank that works very primarily with venture capitalist funds. And what has been happening since really last year, as the Federal Reserve has been raising interest rates as quickly as they've had, I have been talking about this. I'm sure I said it on your show. Liquidity is going to be the actual determinative issue that is going to ruin this entire house of cards and bring it all down. And I'm positive, because I'm recalling our conversation. I remember I distinctly went through the house of cards that the financial world actually is. And I'll kind of refresh that. But the bottom line is, in this case, as the Federal Reserve raised interest rates as fast as they did in 2022, a lot of firms, venture capitalist firms, IPO started to become less and less attractive. And a lot of venture capitalist firms decided they'd have to turn inward instead of raising new capital because of the cost of capital going up so much in other ways. IPOs were becoming less attractive. And so they were going to have to basically self-fund, live off their own cash flow for the next whatever. So this is what actually ended up happening. All these VC funds that have had these struggles as the cost of capital has gone up since 2022, they started to burn through their actual cash, draining the Silicon Valley Bank. And we know that as of Thursday, $42 billion had been already withdrawn. So basically, they had to obviously freeze that. Like you said, it is the second largest failure in U.S. history. It is the largest, obviously, since the global financial crisis of 2008, as you just mentioned. And so basically what we have is the fact that we can see as soon as people, and that whether that be institutions, as it was in this case, or individuals need to start spending down their capital balances to just pay their bills, we're going to have a liquidity crisis in this country because the money multiplier is way, way bigger than 10x as it's reported to be.
Okay, explain what that means. And yes, you did mention the liquidity issue, which again, interestingly enough, my radio audience knows that in December of 2019, I started talking about liquidity on my radio show because I was watching I'm a bank watcher. I started watching the repo market, the overnight repurchasing market in December of 2019. I was like, I think there's going to be a liquidity issue with the banks again, which means you could have bank failures if the feds don't step in and do something. If they do step in and do something, you're going to have inflation, obviously, a hidden tax, everything that's going to cost more. And then January 2020, we got full hit with coming quickly with COVID, which threw a lot of money at the big businesses and the big banks, which seemed to give them a Band-Aid. Now they're back in trouble again. You know what's interesting is that it seems like about every 3 years, they need another crisis to get more money. About every 3 years, that seems to be, I don't know if that's that's an accurate number or not, if they can go longer, but it's going to be about 3 years since the last crisis where they got a lot of liquidity, which tells you they're in big trouble.
Yeah. So let me just inject some points here of just what you just said. First thing is, Brandon, I'll go back and I'll rewind. And you talk specifically about the fact that, COVID gave the banks a relief. But you're exactly right in the sense that it was a relief for the banks, but it was designed to be a relief because the banks had to be recapitalized by the United States Treasury to the tune of $11 trillion exactly in 2019, as you just mentioned. And it's exactly for this reason. They have not learned any lessons. We thought that we now were more careful with making sure we had higher reserve levels since the crisis of 2008, 2009, and the too big to fail fiasco, buying toxic assets, mortgage-backed securities that have been securitized, the subprime loans, retail, all of these things. We thought we've learned this and we're not going to do this again. Derivatives obviously are the issue. But I will tell you that the largest investment bank in this country has $62 trillion of derivatives on their balance sheet alone. We have over in the United States in investment banks, we have over a quadrillion dollar of financial derivative instruments that are out there being traded as valuable commodities. The genie is so far out of the bottle that when the first wind blows and the house of cards begins, there is no stopping it. And at this point, we have to start questioning, do they even want to stop it? Or is this exactly what they're ready for so that they can then bring down the entire system as we know it, force everyone onto a digital ID, and then move us to a central bank digital currency?
And so today we have two stories we wake up to. One, this bank that is said to be the second largest bank failure in U.S. history and people can't get their money out, Silicon Bank. And then we have, which again, because it's called Silicon, I guess everyone thought it was probably in the Silicon Valley, but then we read it had a Manhattan branch. So obviously it has several branches across the country, right?
Sure, right.
So then we wake up to the story we mentioned, Wells Fargo, all of a sudden people's deposits that were there are gone. We're reading online people saying, you know, that they've got checks bouncing and they've got, you know, payments they can't make, and they're mad. They're very angry, as well they should be. Deposits missing that were there, deposits that should be showing aren't showing up. And here's what we found online. If you see incorrect balances or missing transactions, this may be due to a technical issue, and we apologize. Your accounts continue to be secure, and we're working quickly on a resolution. I don't know if you got to see the interview I just did with David Pine, who's a former military guy, an expert on cyber hacking and attacks. And he's like, you know, the American people need to understand we are at war. And you have major nations like Russia, China, Iran, North Korea hacking all the time. He mentioned that Russia is doing about 1 million hack attacks a day. We're doing them on them as well, but they're doing them on us, and they go after critical infrastructure. And I noticed that in the last few months, Rebecca, we've had trading stop. We had trading stop because of a glitch. Mm-hmm. We had the FAA shut down flights like never before since, I think, 9/11 due to a glitch. We had Bank of America people missing money due to a glitch. We now got Wells Fargo people missing money due to a glitch. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing something else that's happened. That's just what I can think of off the top of my head just in the last few weeks. What do you make of this? Because one day we may all wake up and find out we can't get our money out to make our payments.
Yeah, Brandon, I mean, I am the most direct with your show other than any other interviews I ever do.
And wait, why is that? Why is that you're so direct with our audience?
I think it's because, you know, it just feels like a platform we can be 100% truthful.
So in other words, not to put words in your mouth, but you're direct because you know the audience and the host can handle the truth and will let you give the truth. Is that why?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, it's hard for me because I try to exist, you know, in both the traditional media world, which obviously is not ready to hear a lot of the truth that I talk about on your show. But yet it's still important for me to actually say the truth that I've been exposed to through my various connections and, you know, those kinds of things. So, you know, it's really an interesting dichotomy of my life right now. I will say that.
So, I interrupted you there, but you said, I want to be honest with your audience. Were you going to say something about the inability to get up one morning and get the money out of the bank?
Well, yeah, because what I was going to say is every time I come on, I feel like I'm this kind of like naysayer doomsday Debbie. And the thing is I have always been glass is half full. We are, you know, positive, carpe diem, seize the day. So to be such a preparer and to just be, you know, making a clarion call to everybody for the last 18 months that this day was coming. And if it's not here already, it is eminently here. So it is a 2023 event in my professional assessment. And it could be literally now, Brandon, this could be the tip, or it could take a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of other things that are happening outside of just SVB. We know that the SEC literally held up Credit Suisse from releasing their annual report. This is highly unusual, suspect.
Explain what that means. You just went over my head. What does that mean?
Well, you know, Credit Suisse is a public company, a public bank, and they are due to have a public release of their annual filing because they are a public company. They're required to file 10-Ks. And the SEC literally was on the phone, as reported internally, with the head of Credit Suisse and said, do not release your annual reports. Now, that is unprecedented. That is unheard of. I mean, is this a national security issue? Is this a global economic security issue if Credit Suisse releases their public annual financial records? We know that that is a huge issue. There's a lot of things that are all percolating and bubbling. And one thing, you know, we just had the CEO of AMC on, Wednesday basically publicly tweet the head of the SEC, FINRA, and the New York Stock Exchange by basically calling out the fact that the AMC shares, which is a meme stock that is related to, for those of your audience will know, the Wall Street Bets Reddit group. And this meme stock, basically, they stick together to band together as the little guy against the institutional hedge funds that are trying to short AMC, trying to bankrupt AMC by betting against the stock. So what, you know, Wall Street Bets on Reddit did was join together to say, let's hell or high water, ride or die, do not sell this stock. And what has happened is all of these hedge funds have been shorting the stock, but the price has not gone down as expected. So the cost to borrow has been averaging over 250%, anywhere from 200% to 900%. So now we're getting a lot of FTPs, failure to present, meaning that they're not presenting the borrowed shares as required under trade securities laws. And so what's happening is they're now getting reported on this threshold list because they have such an inordinate amount of shares that are not actually being presented, that have been shorted against the stock. So we're talking about, you know, a level of financial criminality that we haven't seen before. And Gary Gensler, who's the head of the SEC, is publicly called out on Twitter every single day by multiple groups, but I think the most prolific one is called Wall Street Apes. And basically they're just constantly talking and telling Gary Gensler how all of these trades are being run from these robo advisors, as well as these discount broker advisors like Robinhood, off exchange, meaning that they are not traded in real time live to create the buying and selling market pressure that would normally happen. Instead, they're gathered together and they're put into the off exchange dark pool. And the hypothesis is, and obviously I'm an attorney, I do not make this as a claim of fact, but the hypothesis is that these dark pools are able to then call ahead to the institutional side, let them know what the retail side is doing before the price pressures go through, so that the hedges can do their thing according to what they would help them. So there's a lot of bad things that have been alleged and that will have to and will come to fruition as evidence through discovery.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Are you telling our audience that the financial insiders protect themselves and the public can just get pounded?
I'm telling you that the institutional money runs the world, and that the rest of us believe that we have some sort of active participation in a real kind of market, but that is an illusion, just like our democracy is a complete and total illusion at this point. That is how far we are. That is the truth of how far we are. And honestly, Brandon, at this point, I think people that are Christians and have a strong faith absolutely know that it is time for God. And without him, we're going to have big problems. This is time for a God intervention, because the level of deception and corruption that we are discussing, that I'm discussing with you in the financial markets and the banking industry and all of these things, investment houses, the SEC, regulatory industries, this goes not only in the financial sector, but this goes in the education sector. This goes obviously in the governmental sector. This goes in the media sector. This is why we have to have these, you know, outside channels. This goes into the church, the religious sector. This goes into every single sector of major life that God told us how to live. And it has to be supernaturally dealt with at this point. This is good versus evil. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. Rebecca Walzer, her website is put it up there for me, boys. What is her website again? It's Friday. I'm worn out. It is walzerwealth.com.
Yes.
Walzerwealth.com. I'm not done with her. I just want to plug her. Walzerwealth.com. Walzerwealth.com. That's her website, Walzer Wealth. She is not your traditional financial planner, folks, as you might have guessed. So there you go. You might want to check out her website and find out about what she has to offer at walzerwealth.com, walzerwealth.com. Also, let me just quickly say, because this is how we met, was through Wes Peters of Swiss America. If you want precious metals or information about bullion, fresh bullion, versus numismatic, 1933 and older. And you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, House, when you talk about numismatic. Well, that's why you need to get a free packet of information. They're not selling you anything yet. They're only interested in giving you education first. Then you can make the right decision for yourself. I've been working with them for 18 years, folks. So again, there's fresh bullion, gold, silver. No one's talking about taking 50% of your assets, by the way, and doing this. You're talking 10, 15%, depending, 20%, whatever your comfort level is and what your needs are. It's a decision everyone has to make for themselves based on their individual situation, because not everybody's in the same spot. But you're talking about diversification here. So if you're looking for freshly minted or what we call bullion, you know, that's, you know, a few years old or 10 years old, 20 years old, gold, silver versus 1933 and older, the numismatic. And then that starts being rated as like MS61, MS62, MS63. You start getting up too high around the MS70. You're basically now into collectibles. You're into fine art. But most of us are happy with the MS61, 62s. Why? Because it is graded. It comes with a hologram. It's in a plastic case. It's verified by 2-3 different houses, recognized places that verify the authenticity of the coin. It provides privacy. You know, federal law, numismatic, are considered collectibles, antiques, if you will, and are private purchases. And that means a lot to a lot of people. Some say you can make money twice. You can make money on the spot price, and you can make money on the antique price, if you will. The premium on it. Those premiums go up and down. They fluctuate. But of course, past performance is no prediction of future performance, right? And I'm not offering you financial advice. I offer financial opinion. But if you want a free packet, with all that said, no obligation, you don't even have to call Wes. You can just simply text him and ask him to send it to you, and then you start going over that information. Then you can follow back up with him. 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585 to text him your name and your address. He'll send that packet of information. Then you can go through it, follow up, and talk to Wes personally. 602, and he'll text with you. 602-558, and I'm sure he'd take your call too. But you don't have to call him is what I'm telling you. 602-558-8585. Just text him your name and address or leave him a voicemail. He'll get it out to you. Again, Rebecca's website, walzerwealth.com, walzerwealth.com, to see the services that she offers. By the way, Wes also will talk to you about how to put your gold in your IRA. Put gold into your IRA. Let's talk about a headline over here. I'm looking at wolfstreet.com. RIP Silicon Valley Bank, shut down by California regulator, taken over by FDIC, shareholders bailed in. Woo, wait a minute. Shareholders bailed in, comma, insured depositors to get their cash by Monday. All right. First, let's go with that first one. Shareholders bailed in. What do you think that means?
Well, this is something that we also discussed before, on Brandon, on your show. You even showed clips of the November 2022 FDIC meeting where they discussed the concept of bailed in. And they actually said, one of the FDIC members said, oh, I don't know if we should actually say this in public, you know, and insurance companies don't say how they mitigate their potential hazards. And so he basically was saying, we really shouldn't be talking about this publicly, but okay, if we tell the public what a bail-in is, then we will in fact create a bank run. And so, you know, we've known and we have talked about it on your show, but I think it's been out in the, you know, the channels of truth and information. If you're really searching for that information, that's been available, you know, I'd say Rumble and Telegram for, I'd say, at least 18 months. You know, this is not really new for us. We've really known. It's just really all this stuff having to take so long to come to the forefront. It's very, very frustrating, because I've been telling my clients, stay away from all national big banks. Absolutely do not have, I don't even care up to 250, you know, because, you know, when you have a bail-in, you're talking about a complete freezing of all access. And then you're going to be calling this phone number and having to wait on hold. If you're at Bank of America that has over 20 million U.S. customers, you know, how long do you think you're going to be on that phone call? So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you're finally having to get an appointment 2 weeks from now to get maybe some small amount of money. This is, this is the kind of thing that we Americans, that we are, you know, certainly my generation, Gen Xers and millennials and Gen Zers, I know from my generation down, we have not had to have a lot of adversity post, you know, the Afghanistan, Iraq, obviously excepted. You know, obviously we still have had military incursions since Americans had 9/11. But the bottom line is, this is evasive. This is in everything, and we have been saying this is how they're going to piecemeal this all together, and it's beginning.
Wow. And then the other one: insured depositors to get their cash by Monday. Now, of course, this is the first bank failure in a while, at least one this big. So FDIC probably has enough money to cover this. But if you have two or three of these banks, this size falling, how long before you think the FDIC is like, yeah, we can't do this, we got to go back to Congress and ask for money? And is Congress going to do it? Are they just going to crank up the printing presses and do it?
You know, I mean, I think, gosh, it's just so depressing, everything I have to say. It's awful. It just really is.
But it's really not, in the sense that, if I said it the other day, you don't get to the good news unless you understand the bad news. And then when you understand the bad news, you can have a good outcome by preparing accordingly, right? I mean, that when it comes to work, you know, there's work and then there's reward, right? There's work and then there's reward. There's wealth and then there's work and then there's wealth. Work and then wealth. So it all generally has to be sometimes what we call negative, right, to get to the positive. And so I think what you're presenting is not bad news. I think it's good news in that you are telling people in advance how to be wise, how to see the danger, how to diversify, how to take some precaution. And then they're going to say, wow, I am really happy. That's a key word. I'm really happy. I'm at peace. I got protected because I got good information, knowledge, the acquisition of truth, so I could have wisdom, the application of that truth. So you're speaking truth. It's not up to us to decide, is it good or is it bad news? It's, is it true? If it's true, then we can take that knowledge, turn it into wisdom, and you say, wow, I'm so glad I tuned into Brandon's show with Rebecca that night, because when my friends are all sitting on the phone not knowing where their money is, I went ahead and paid off my house because that's a hard asset. Now I own my house and I don't have any mortgage every month. Or I went and I, you know, bought a small little rental property and now I rent it out. Or I did X, Y, or Z, right? So, or I diversified into some precious metals or whatever. I'm not sitting there with my life savings completely, you know, now gone or locked up. So I don't think what you're presenting is bad news. I really don't.
Okay, yeah. I think too that, like, I am just very transparent, and that's just who I am, you know. And so I'm going to just be as transparent of the information that I know it to, you know, be. I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert in every single thing I say, because I'm talking about a lot of disciplines globally across multiple industries. But I'm a pretty good understander and relator of how multiple disciplines across law, across finance, across economics, and across geopolitics, you know, internationally, when it comes to finance and economics. I'm not talking about war necessarily. And the U.S. legal system all interplay together. And that's, you know, that's pretty powerful dynamic, because that's really, I think, the expertise of what is going on in the world right now. It's all of those things together. It's a confluence of factors across multiple disciplines, across healthcare, through this World Health Organization's IHR, International Health Regulations revision that they are trying to get through right now. And then, of course, the pandemic treaty. Those two things, the IHR, you know, amendments through the WHO, which basically the Biden administration wrote, do make 196 member countries across the world subject their sovereignty to the Secretary of the World Health Organization's decision anytime there is a public health crisis of international concern. So, you know, we have that going on in the healthcare. Our healthcare has been 100% militarized. I did an entire hour and a half podcast proving that, with the laws and the regulations actually on the screen. So I send your listeners to that. I know, Brandon, you're going to have it up on your website soon.
Yes.
So that's healthcare. You know, the military is a whole nother story. We don't even have time for that. That's just not even my expertise, but there is obviously a lot going on there. And then, Brandon, the financial side, this financial space, right? I have been saying over and over and over, liquidity is not it is going to be the death of the US dollar. And specifically because we have had a system that has not only required stimulus, but has been basically addicted to the stimulus of free, cheap money from the Federal Reserve since 2009, too big to fail. We're talking about like a drug addiction that this country has gotten to free printing of money. And they got to this Babylonian, you know, cultish, like, it doesn't matter, we can do whatever we want. We're the global world reserve currency. Everyone has to bow to the mighty dollar and buy it so they can buy their oil all throughout the world. And we just thought, and we got so arrogant, it's like Rome imploding upon itself, because the rest of the world outside of the NATO alliance has basically been conspiring against the United States to band together and create an outside global reserve currency that is not the US dollar. And they have been announcing steps towards this new multipolarity, new global reserve currency for the last 2 years, with Saudi Arabia just announcing in Davos in January that they are now ready and prepared to sell crude for the first time since 1974 outside of the US dollar. So you have that going on as you have the beginning of some bank runs and bail-ins inside the United States. And we have to understand that the FDIC was always a myth, in the sense that, and I'm not saying that it hasn't been leveraged and it hasn't actually been used. It has, but it has not ever been proven through any kind of stress test that if you had any kind of serious bank run, that it would not be systemic within a matter of 8 hours. And the systemic nature of that crash would cripple the United States forever economically. We're talking about, you know, multiple trillions and trillions of dollars of losses in one day that would never be recovered from. So this is where we're at, is at the end of what we have known since 1944, and that is the Bretton Woods Agreement, that the United States would be the world's reserve currency pegged to, you know, an ounce of gold.
Wow.
And that's where we are.
And so here's what I can do. I don't want to take up your whole Friday night. We can take calls for the next 20 minutes, or I can let you go and go to a different topic. But so what would you like to do right now?
I mean, I can stay for a little bit longer, for sure. I mean, I don't want to, whatever you want to do.
All right, let's do it
then,
because our audience is always wanting me to open the phone lines more often. So let's go to the top of the hour, which is my time slot. Take 20 minutes of phone calls. If you don't mind putting that number up there, Thomas, 901-316-8404. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 901-316-8404. Rebecca Walzer of walzerwealth.com, 901-316-8404. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let those phones ring, Thomas, in there, and get me the first one as quick as you can. 901-316-8404. I heard his chair roll across the floor, which means he's now just opening up the line so you won't get a busy signal. And you get on board, and we'll take your calls with Rebecca of walzerwealth.com. So do you believe when they say that, okay, everyone's going to get their money, that was the headline, was that people were going to get their money by Monday, insured depositors. Insured depositors. Well, that's interesting, because that's anyone who's got 250,000 and below. So anyone that had 250,000 or more, they're probably not getting their money. That's your first. This would be one of your first bail-ins in U.S. history, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're saying. We're not basically the too big to fail was too public. It was too visible. It's a lot easier. Like we just were talking about the repo market and the reverse repo market and how basically $11 trillion was bailed out in 2019 out of our U.S. investment banks. And yet It barely, I mean, it was literally reported in the Wall Street Journal, you know, on a much delayed basis by the time it was required to be reported publicly by law, you know, and so they absolutely buried that. It's still not even mainstream parlance knowledge right now to this day, but that is the entire reason. That bailout is the entire reason that I feel that they brought coronavirus forward a little bit faster than they had previously intended. It was intended to be a little bit more delayed, and then the lockdown was intended to be really anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And it was intended to obviously kill all of the small and medium-sized businesses. All of those were to be out because, you know, as you implement a global new world order government system, you basically, you've partnered with, you really become fascistic, right? So you have global Fortune 100 companies, for example, that will set all of the medical policy, that will set all of the healthcare, you know, warehouse, all of the policies across all things, right? And then there'll be no way that people can buy outside of those parameters because those are the only corporations that remain in business. And of course, everything's moving to AI and robotics anyways. And as we've talked before, you know, I did a different podcast on the fact that, you know, really as the robots take over all human jobs, they really only see 2 billion people even being necessary on planet Earth to run the robots. So, I mean, it's just all so deep and layered and interconnected.
Where can people find your show? I know we're going to be start carrying it on the weekends at WVW-TV, but where can they find it archived?
So Crashes and Taxes, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple iTunes, it's on YouTube, and it is, that's pretty much it, I think.
Okay. Well, the phone lines are ringing like
everywhere.
Phone lines are ringing like crazy, Rebecca.
Oh,
let's, we got Texas, we got Arkansas. Already on the hold here. Let's go to Ginger in Texas, line one. Ginger, thanks for calling in tonight, Ginger.
Hi, Brandon and Rebecca. Thank
Hi.
You so much for everything you're both doing.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
Thank you.
My question is could you talk about credit unions? Because I hear everyone talking about banks, but I haven't heard about credit unions and what your thoughts are on with them.
Absolutely. So credit unions do not use FDIC. They use something called NCUI, which is a, you know, kind of a consortium, if you will, among credit unions themselves that self-insure against one credit union's failure. Credit unions are basically member-owned, kind of like an insurance company that's a mutual company is owned by its whole life policy members. So a credit union is owned by its shareholders or its members. That's the difference. It makes it not regulated as an actual bank under the U.S. banking laws, but as a different type of institution, and it has a different regulatory body, and it doesn't have FDIC insurance. So it is different. I will say that it is probably definitely safer. But again, you know, for me to give anybody absolute confidence that, you know, your money won't get, I foresee that the system will get shut down and will be frozen for a substantial amount of time. And it will make it very difficult for all of us.
How long do you see the freeze? I know that Jim Rickards talks in his books and interviews about an ICE 9, which is what you're talking about. He calls it an ICE 9, where everything is frozen while they figure out the reset. And can then, of course, adjust the credit cards, the credit card machines, and everything else to get going again with whatever the new currency is going to be. How long do you see that freezing period? And we kind of saw that in Cyprus when that happened back in, 2014? How long do you see this freeze being where everybody's like, okay, you can't get any money, you can't make any transactions, your credit cards aren't going to work, we're turning everything off while we have this frozen section here and figure out what we're going to do and how we reboot. How long?
What I would say is that normally they would war game this out, and they would basically use the psychological barometer of how far can you push a human population before they're willing to completely take their guns and go to the streets and overthrow their government literally with blood. Like, that is kind of the old school war game of how long a government has before they get to the end of tyranny, right? But I can tell you those war games are absolutely and completely different now. And the reason they're different now is because they're absolutely using robotics and AI and, you know, drones and, you know, all kinds of super classified information that the American public has been hidden from in the name of national security. And we have been, you know, they have put a veil of covering over us in the name of, well, you can't know, because if you know, then Russia knows, or Iran knows, or China knows. And while that is true, at the same time, you cannot use national security, which is meant to actually protect the freedoms of your people. You cannot use national security as the veil to actually enslave your people. So, you know, the robotized dogs and weaponized robotic men that they have that can run, jump, you know, do all kinds of non-human things, and the extent to which these things can be engaged against humanity in the United States is you know, something that we're not prepared for. And again, it's about God.
So do you think that an ice 9 or a freeze that you're talking about could be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? What's the shortest and what's the longest, you think?
I mean, I think that I would say that there is no way that more than 20% of our country is prepared to not be able to go to a grocery store for more than a 7-day period of time. I mean, Americans are 90%. I mean, I'm not talking about the rural areas. Of course, there's definitely areas that are still, I mean, I remember my whole family grew up in, you know, came from Virginia, and they had basements and they were filled with all the cans of beans and vegetables. And that's how they used to do it. We fast forward to, you know, obviously GMO, genetically modified foods, and all this junk food that America has become, fast food world. I mean, that's all a part of the dumbing down and the fattening up of society to make people apathetic so they can't revolt against internal takeover of their government, which is what is actually happening. This is totally a color revolution that's been funded by the globalists for, you know, 100+ years. And it's just now that the actual information is finally coming and will come, Brandon. Mark my words, this information will not be stopped. It is coming now and it cannot be stopped. And so that's what we have to hold on to and rejoice. As all of this negative comes out, we are going to be the ones whose eyes were opened for whatever reason. We were chosen to have open eyes, and we were able to see and know these things well in advance and talk about these things well in advance. And I've certainly wanted to know why that is one of my jobs. And I've gotten the feedback back because, you know, even though some of the things I say sound so crazy, when the truth actually comes out, people are going to be able to receive it better and understand it more because of the seed that gets planted by your show and things that we are able to say to people to prepare for.
Absolutely. So I would say then 7 days is a problem. There's no way they could freeze this thing and get it back up and running in 7 days. So that tells you you're going to have massive societal unrest. I mean, I would think they'd have to shut this thing down for probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks minimum before they could get everything reset again, and that's being optimistic. So if 7 days is the time frame, and the average grocery store in America has 3 days of food, you know, the average city has 3 days of food. So
exactly. You're
right. After day seven, you're into financial social unrest big time, which again is why so many people, like our last guest, David Pine, who's military, and so many of these other guys are saying, we know history. We are military people. We know what has happened in other countries that have gone through this, and you better be preparing because you ain't going to have seen anything like this before in America in our history. And of course, during the Great Depression, we had a much higher, we were more of an agricultural-based society, and we had a much more moral society than we do today. We also weren't as heavily populated. Let's go to Peter in Arkansas, line 3. Peter, thanks for calling in, Peter. Hi, Peter. Line 3.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey,
thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
I
appreciate you guys. Hey, yeah, listen to you guys all the time, man. I sure appreciate your work, and I know I'm going to start praying for you guys more.
Thank you.
Man, what you're exposing is some crazy stuff that we're all dealing with.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm getting close to retirement, and I'm trying to figure out where with all these things that are going to go on, it's hard to figure out where a person should put their resources if they're going to retire in a few years. Any thoughts on that?
Rebecca?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, everyone's risk tolerance is different. So I won't give you direct personal advice, but I'll just say in general, someone in your age range who wants to retire in, less than 10 years, and you've already really built up a really strong nest egg, that the place right now to not be is the market. I mean, I wouldn't be in bonds. We can't be in bonds because we know that they're probably, the way I'm seeing the analysis, I think that we are another 150 basis points away from the final terminal rate. So that means we're going to have a lot more additional rate hikes, which means you don't want to buy bonds now because that means the value will go down. The other thing I would say is you can't really buy dividend paying stocks. If you look at Adidas, for example, very secure dividend just got cut by over half because the analysts expected weirdly just this is just wokeism. The analysts expected Adidas's value to go and profits to increase by 4% after they severed their relationship with Kanye West, when actually it retracted 3% and they had to cut their dividend. So, you can't really be in equities at all because we are talking about a black swan event globally that is imminent. I believe 2023 is the year. I would not, we are very, very bearish on equities right now. We're obviously not in for bonds because of what I just explained about interest rates. That really takes a lot off the table. A lot of people and a lot of my clients call and say, hey, what about, a short-term 6-month CD and or even a longer term multi-year guaranteed rate annuity, something like that. And I would say, bank products, because of all of the currency risks I've been talking about, with the US dollar, bank products, FDIC insured products, not a fan right now because the capitalization is not there. If you're looking for guaranteed products, I'd look more on the insurance side of the world because their capitalization is a lot more rigid and required, especially when it comes to guarantees that are guaranteed in contracts. There's actual reserves there. So that's kind of the general advice. What I would say is to get some kind of security right now. I'm looking at precious metals, the number one metal that has seen civilization for 6,000 years go through it. Haggai 2:8, the gold, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord. Gold, gold, and gold. Own gold. And if you don't and can't, for whatever reason, own physical gold, which is best, that is what I'm saying, it is best, then obviously there are ways internally with professionals that you can own paper gold that is actually recognized by the IRS as the ownership of gold. So that's where my firm can come in and really give you some alternatives. We have a lot of alternative investments, Brandon, that we've really been leveraging, especially since 2023 has begun because of our analysis of where the market is headed. So we're
So
in commodities and then we're on alternatives.
for the physical, they call West Peters, and if you want to buy it on paper, they call you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota, line 3. Chad, thanks for calling in, Chad.
And Rebecca, thanks
Hi.
For taking my call. I'm just curious on Rebecca's thoughts of any of these fiat currencies. They mathematically they have to fail at some point, and that is going to basically take everything built underneath them down to a failure point also. Do you agree with that?
I mean, you're 100% right. In fact, the analysis this week was really focused on the crisis that we are experiencing now in the emerging market space because the US dollar has been so strong, which I told everyone. I don't know if I said on your show, Brandon, but certainly on my information I put out, I let everybody know Jerome Powell has absolutely no choices here. He has to raise, raise, raise until he gets to the right terminal rate, which we are not close to yet,
And by the way,
because
we
there
played
was.
those clips last night, and he's admitting to both Republican Senator Kennedy of Louisiana and to Elizabeth Warren, he's admitting with their pushing, yeah, we're going to probably see those interest rates rise. And yes, it historically will mean 2 million people plus lose their jobs.
Yeah, well, we're well beyond this, but obviously Powell can't be talking about that right now. So he has no choice. He's going to keep raising, raising, and raising. And so I don't know exactly where we were, Brandon, because I started focused on what you were saying. So where was I answering? I
He was
can't
talking about
remember.
the different fiat currencies of the world collapsing.
Oh, yeah. So basically, like we've seen a lot of problems in Sri Lanka and Egypt and Pakistan. We're seeing a lot of these emerging market countries that are heavily funded by the IMF waiting for an IMF bailout now. Or they're in dire, imminent financial straits that, you know, where their countries aren't funding their governments. I mean, this is really systemic. And it is worldwide, and we are going to be the last to really understand what's happening, because once we realize that our dollar is collapsing, I mean, you know, it's going to come to America last.
And this
but
is
certainly
where,
everyone's
and,
moving.
And this is where I personally believe this is where some global leader steps on the world scene and offers to fix it all. That's part of my.
You think that's where we are?
I think it could be. My eschatology would say that some kind of major global crisis causes somebody to step forward and think they can offer up a solution. But maybe this is maybe that's 50 years off, maybe that's 100 years off. But holy cow, it just seems to all be lining up, and the whole global aspect of it is, which is, you know, countries doing this kind of thing individually, but now a global issue, you know, seems to be, to me, setting the stage for something. I'm not sure what. Let's go to go ahead. There's lines are lit up, but go ahead.
I just want to tell you, Brandon, really fast about what you just said. I think that you're reading, obviously, Revelations and Daniel exactly right. But what I will say is that you're thinking that because if there is no intervention from God, right?
Yes.
We are at, if there were to be no intervention from God, then you're right. We would be in Revelations as soon as we get to a central bank digital currency, digital ID. I mean, we are there. We are at the mark of the beast. I 100,000% agree with you. But I just believe based on multiple levels of sources of information globally, that is just not coming yet. There's going to be something that's great that's going to come first. And then, you know, the world will get back to that. But
I hope that's the case. And I think part of what you might be hinting is that when you got the BRICS banking system and Russia and others talking about backing a currency with gold, that could change the whole game, because now nobody's going to want anything America's got to offer. I mean, I'm not a big fan of some of those countries, but man alive, if they're going to offer and roll out a currency that's got backed by gold, I'll take what they got over what the U.S. is throwing out to me, another fiat currency.
Yeah. I mean, I think if nothing else, this is the end of the fiat currency system globally as we know it. And thank God for that, because, you know, you've seen so many, you know, global billionaires that have been quoted and attributed to these crazy quotes of, you know, I don't care who's voting. I care who counts the votes. I don't care, you know, well, I mean, I don't care what the money is. I just care who counts the money, who creates the money, who controls the money. The money supply and the control of money obviously is so integral into who we are. If we can feed our children, if we can pay for our electricity and read at night and communicate how we modern day communicate, it is who we are. It's part of humanity now, you know? And so if they are able to control the money supply, they 100% control us. And we
Absolutely.
Know that is how they control us at the end of time, because that is described as the mark of the beast in Revelations. You can't buy or sell without it.
Yep.
So we know that is what they're going to use.
Absolutely. Let's run two more calls real quick, try to get them both in. Zoe in Illinois, then Mike in Missouri. Go, Zoe.
And real quick, Rebecca, I can't really have a lot of physical gold. I feel like I couldn't protect it, but I'm wondering about SLV and GLD, and I also want you to comment on the S&P 500. Is that a bad thing to have?
So the S&P 500 is great, and I believe in passive index investing for sure, and it's a certain way you can get a breadth of all of the sectors of the market, but I just wouldn't buy equities at all right now. Other than you're talking about SLV and GLD, those are ETFs, those are exchange-traded funds, and the only thing in the fund is the actual physical metal. So yes, I'm a big fan of both of those ETFs, absolutely.
Oh, you are? Oh, thank you.
Yes, I am.
Mike in Missouri, line 3, you'll be our final caller tonight. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Brandon, nice to see you.
You too,
hey,
thank
Rebecca,
you.
One word, and you're dancing all around it. Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. You want to know about that, Mike? Is that what you want to know?
I want to know her opinion on Bitcoin.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. What do you think, Rebecca?
So I'm a big fan of the blockchain. Absolutely love the blockchain. Blockchain is going to revolutionize so much about the world. It actually makes government almost non-necessary because we will be able to record every transaction and independently verify it by its recording on the blockchain, which is, you know, unchangeable. So I'm a huge blockchain fan, crypto fan. What the government is trying to do right now, the U.S. federal government, they're trying to debank every single coin.
Pull the music down. I can't hear. Pull that music down. What is your point of Bitcoin? They're doing what?
The government is trying to debank every crypto exchange that you can't convert the crypto back into dollars. They're basically trying to debank everything except for Bitcoin for right now. For
wow.
some reason. I'm not exactly sure why.
Walzerwealth.com. Walzerwealth.com. Thanks for being so generous with your time tonight, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Have
thank
a great
you for
weekend.
Having me.
No, thank you. Rebecca checking in. Check out her site, walzerwealth.com. And again, if you're interested in that free packet of information on precious metals, you can also give your address and name to Wes Peters. Just simply text him if you want, 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. Don't forget, we've got the slipper closeout, $25 a pair. They were $150, now $25. Use the promo code B66. And then finally, this weekend, folks, why don't you have a conversation with your family, your spouse, about putting away emergency freeze-dried food, emergency supplies. Look at all this happening in the world. Do this while we're offering free freight. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Libby will be working over the weekend taking your orders. You can call her as well, even now, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. When breaking news happens, we can break in 24/7, so keep watching. But other than that, I plan to be back Sunday night for our Sunday night service, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday night, right here for our Sunday night service that I've been teaching since 2015 online live. Till then, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.